Amazon to Malik and Tilly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for comprehension. Thank you because we are better in every way. We are better in every way. We are better in every way. We are made better in every way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So, yes, thanks, Bramanka. Don't take my passion to see you grow up as hatred for any one of you. No, I just see better days for us. I see better days for us doing the works of Jesus, better days preaching the gospel, better days eradicating this message of Christ. So please try and follow, and let's do it together with all our strength, with all our zeal, with all our concentration. Don't forget the main thing I request for is this: is just your attention. That is the key. Whoever does not have his attention on the word, please, can somebody wake up? I don't know if you're sleeping. Sorry, I just said wake up. I can't see book here. Okay, so our attention is key. So our attention is key. So please, let's be sure to give God the best that we can give him, especially in this period. These are periods that a lot of us are trying to get our footing in ministry. These are periods that will set us up for, because these are actually times that we make critical decisions. These are times you make a decision of where to live, who to marry, where to travel to, what to do. And most times when people make these decisions, once they make it without God in their plan, most people just miss it from this age, and they never get it back, and they are just off like that. So it's good for us not to get it wrong at this time. It's good for us to be up and doing. It's good for us to just value the training that we are receiving at this time. Yeah. It's just so good for us. This is the best time for it. It's the best time for it. It's good to learn the word before you start having babies. It's good to learn the word before before choosing a place to stay. Some people, let me tell you the truth, I think the gospel and the training you are receiving should actually determine when to relocate and where you should relocate to. If you are just learning the word, you cannot just go and snuff yourself among people who don't know anything and you think that you'll be better. That means you have Mammon as your God and not Jesus as your Lord. So everything we are learning in this time, it will direct the affairs of our life. Hallelujah. Hope you know Karis Camp is also on. So as much as you can try and follow Pastor online. If you're in church, you should have live stream there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this course, this is apostasy track 4. Is it part 3? I think it's part... Is it part 3 or part 4? Sorry. I wrote part 4. It should be part 3, right? Amen. It should be part 3. Let me see if I can change it. Okay. Part 3. Okay. Thank you. So, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation, yes, thank you, Pastor John. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace which is given me to you, world, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words. Verse 4. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So we must read. You say when we read. So like, reading is important. If only we can read well without thinking for the Bible, we will get its message. If only we can read well without thinking for the Bible, but rather thinking from the Bible. Let me say it again. We must not think for the word. We must think from the word. We must think from. That means we must take our thought pattern from the word, not for the word. So allow the word of God to shape your thought pattern. We must allow it. We must allow the word of God to shape our thought pattern. We must allow it. We must allow it to shape the way we think. We must allow it to shape the way we reason. We must allow it, the word, to shape that thought pattern of ours. So, like I've always said, like I said a few times or so, language can pose a barrier in Bible interpretation. That is the truth. Since we are going to understand the revelation of the epistles by reading, that means language can pose a barrier in Bible interpretation. Hallelujah. Language, that means the way it's being spoken, everything, it can pose a barrier in Bible interpretation. Hallelujah. Okay, please, can you just give me some minutes? So, like I was saying, language can pose a barrier in Bible interpretation. Language. So, at times, because the Bible has to be translated from one language to another by another man, not by God, though. Because the Bible has to be translated from one language to another by another man, not by God. So, firstly, write down these two things down. Firstly, at times their own understanding of God may reflect in their translation. So, because the Bible has to be translated from one language to another by another man, by another man that is not even the original author. So at times their own understanding, that means the understanding of the translator, may reflect in his translation. It ought not to, but at times it does. Because what they just do is to try to give you the honest way it can be presented. So don't forget that's point number one. In translation, at times the understanding of the translator may reflect in the translation. And number two, at times they may not be able to find words weighty enough to convey the thoughts of the original writer. The thought of the original writer. So this is the reason why we do language study. At times they may not be able to find words weighty enough to convey the thoughts of the scriptures. So this is the reason we do language study. And this is why we must be patient. This is the reason for patience. We must be patient. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, we have been seeing, not only on this study, also in church for a while. Amen. At times, some verses of the scripture that are written to console, to encourage, or to comfort believers can turn to orphaning if not well handled. Some verses of the scripture that are actually written to console, to comfort, or to encourage the believer can actually turn to a horror movie if they are not well handled. That is what we are doing in this series as touching the word called apostasy or apostatics as written in the Greek. So that is what we are doing in this series. So, e.g., for instance, you remember how you feel before you met the word, you remember how you feel before when you hear that God is a consuming fire. You remember how stops grips your mind that when you upon hearing that your God is a consuming fire. And see that Hebrews 12 again, verse 18. Hebrews 12, verse 18. Try and open your Bible. So these are verses that have been used, that as they have been a strong good hope for ages to bastardize the believer. I'm not sure. Hebrews 12, 18. For you are not come unto the mountain that might be touched, and are burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. You know, if we simply believe this verse 18, we know that God could not have been saying, is another consuming fire that is threatening the saint. That's why you must understand the difference between literal term and figurative term. God says love. God says this. God says it. Yet it's also consuming fire. So you must understand figures of speech from reality. So see it again. For you are not come. You are not come. You are not presented before. You are not come unto the mountain that might be touched and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. So he has already said you are not come unto a consuming fire. That would mean whatever he's saying in the latter verse cannot be talking to a fire that is for the believer. Amen, amen. See verse 19. Okay, yes. If you're aware, you are there. Thank you. 19. And the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Verse 20, for they could not endure that which was commanded. If so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight thereof that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. So everything you are seeing here, he said, you are not come here. You are not, this is not what you are come unto. See verse 22, but you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, these are good things, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, so after telling you who God is not to man, he told you who God is to man. God is redemption to man. Jehovah is salvation to man. Jehovah is not wrath to man. That's what he's saying. Jehovah is not wrath to man. Jehovah is not destruction to man. Jehovah is not fire to man. Jehovah is redemption. Jehovah is salvation to man. So after telling you who God is and who God is not, he now said in verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. You can see that this will be evangelistic. Don't refuse. For if they escape not, who refuse him that speak on earth? Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. I've told you before that the law also is also a figure of judgment. Now, a figure of judgment, not the judgment. 26. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he had promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word yet one. Okay, look at verse 26. He said, whose voice then shook the earth? But now I did promise that, yes, I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. Now see 27. And this word yet once more signified the removing. This is the consuming fire. The removing of those things that are made. Ordinances of men, touch not, taste not, which are all to perish with the using. Colossians 2. And this word yet once more signified the removing of those things that are made, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Hallelujah. What are the things that cannot be shaken? See verse 28. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Hallelujah. That is our kingdom, which cannot be moved. That which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. So what the law consumed was actually the source of our fear. Because the law is a consuming fire, we'll be referring to verse 27. The removing of those things that are shaken. That is what the Lord consumes. He's not saying fear God because it's fire. That is where it's scripted there. Or maybe sometimes I'm able to rescript verse 28 very well for us to appreciate how it is in the originals. For instance, let's just look briefly into the context of the book of Hebrews. Just two or three verses there. See Hebrews 10 verse 9. Let me wait for you. Hope you are following. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See Hebrews 10 verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. That word, take it away, is actually a Greek word, A-N-A-I-R-E-O. A-N-A-I-R-E-O. It means he abrogated, he put it to death. It actually meant murder, actually, like to kill someone, to slay someone, to kill. He take it away. He puts to death the first. God puts to death the first. God puts to death the first, that he might establish the second. Hallelujah. That he might establish the second. See Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13. Hebrews 8, 13. Oh, I hope I'm not too fast. I don't want to be slower than this. So it doesn't look like too much repetition for those that will be listening later. Hebrews 8, verse 13. In that he said a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Pastor Joyce, is it that Pastor Ezekiel does not have a phone currently, or what's happening? I can't find him yet. Verse 13. In that he said, Hebrews 8, 13, in that he said a new covenant, he hath made the first old. He said, God hath made the first old. He made the first old. Now, that which decayed and wask old is ready to vanish away. See Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18. Hebrews 7, verse 18. What I call fight back is to fight back to learn the word. Is to fight back to give our attention for God. So until it is done, no matter the efforts you are putting, until it works, it does not work. That's the point. Until you have fought back, you have not fight back. That means until you are victorious in fighting back, you have not fought back. You have not even started. That's an excuse for failure. Excuse for failure does not equate success. So that means it must not be that I am trying to do my best. No, it's you must get it. It's not trying will not be rewarded. Trying will not and God will not God will not like trying will not make you cause you to grow up spiritually. E.g., for instance, on Sunday, like in church. Sorry, on Saturday, we studied a lot. Let me say, at least close to 10 hours. We studied like the book of Romans and lots of concepts like that. Now, there is no, if you said, I tried to be in that program, but I did my best. I tried, but I didn't make it. That has not made you understood what we studied. So that I tried to meet up. You have not done anything. Praise God. So it's not about trying. You must get it. You must get to the point where you are caused to learn. You must get to that point that you are improving. You must be in the place where you are developed. So Hebrews 7:18, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandments going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. There is verily a disannulling of the commandments going before, for the weakness. See that word, disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. So, from context, what the Lord consumes is that Old Testament relationship. That's what he consumes. That relationship of God based on fear with God, based on fear. That is what he consumed in the context. So, God is a consuming fire, describes our deliverance from the law of sin and death. It does not describe our judgment. It does not describe what God will do to some people. No, but rather it describes our deliverance from that law of sin and death. I hope you all got that. It describes our deliverance from the law of sin and death. Amen, amen. Praise God. Let me know when you are done writing that. Glory to God. So, Second Thessalonians. Thank you, Parajus. Second Thessalonians, chapter two, verse one. Now, look at this place again. Second Thessalonians, chapter two, verse one. I'm trying to wait for some people. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our coming together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, not by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, pay attention, please. Be not soon shaken in mind. That means don't be troubled. Don't be agitated. That means this is a book that is also written to comfort believers. Same way we have said that the way we do the things of the Spirit must never be to scare off anyone from God. It must rather be to exhort, and prophecy is for edification, exhortation and comfort. So the same thing is now saying in chapter 2, verse 2 here of Second Thessalonians, that you must not hear a message of rapture and should be soon shaken in mind or be troubled. He say, don't be troubled by the Spirit. That means don't be troubled by thus say the Lord, don't be troubled. There is no utterance must make you must trouble you. Hallelujah. Don't be troubled by word. Don't be troubled. Don't allow portions of the scripture to trouble you. Try and understand what he's saying. Don't be troubled by letter, by messages, by Facebook post, by movies. Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Don't be agitated as that the day of Christ is at hand. When you hear Jesus is coming, it must. If it troubles you, then you have been wrongly taught. Then you have not been rightly taught. It must not trouble you. See verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that, he was not trying to explain. So, that means, whatever he's talking about, it cannot be negative for the believer. What he's talking about will definitely be positive for the believer. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a apostatic first. That's falling away there. That the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, verse 4, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So, of course, you should have, if you have listened to part 2, we have extensively studied, especially verse 3 and verse 4. So, like, this does not describe a special antichrist. Let me say it again. I know I've done eschatology before. I've done several courses in Bible college about eschatology before. But calm down. This does not describe any special antichrist, but everyone in rebellion. Actually, all the way, place where you saw E, using 2 chapter 2 verse 4, is not the E, is not a standalone, it's not like the way it's not a, it's not actually a masculine pronoun that is there. So that word does not describe any special antichrist, but everyone in rebellion. See what he's saying. He says he's sitting in the seat of God. Okay, the question is, where is the seat of God? No, eschatology has said that the guy will sit in Jerusalem. How will Jerusalem be the seat of God? That is just funny. Amen. How will Israel be the seat of God? Where is the seat? Which share? Will he be the prime minister of Israel or Donald Trump or which one? Just which one? So when what he's saying there is when he's saying he's sitting in the seat of God, talks about a man that is justifying himself via arguments and theories. Please write it down that way. A man that is justifying himself via arguments and theories. Justifying self-justification via arguments, via theories. Hope you are getting this. If you need me to recap on anything, I can. Just comment it there. A man that is justifying himself via arguments and theories. Now, I wrote this in my notes. To attempt to justify yourself is to call yourself God. Why? Because only God justifies. To attempt to justify yourself is to call yourself God. To attempt to justify yourself is to call yourself God. This is self-righteousness in display. This is pride in display. The same thing that Satan did. Anyway, we'll come to that. Because, so to attempt to justify yourself is to call yourself God. Because only God justifies. Let me show you something. See Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Only God justifies. Only God justifies. Romans 8, please, this time, please open your Bible. Please open your Bible. I know you are trying to write down, type, reply me, and also look at the Bible. But this part, you will have to please look at your Bible. And I would prefer a KJV Bible, please. KJV Bible. A proper KJV Bible. So, Romans 8:3, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He now said, that is a question, it is God that justifies. Now, of course, in context of what we are studying here, all I want to bring out there is that God is the one that justifies. God is the one that declares a man righteous. God is the one that imputes righteousness. But more than that, let me just quickly teach you something in this Romans chapter 8. What you are seeing in Romans chapter 8 from 31 is a rhetorical way of communication, like a rhetorical question. A rhetorical questioning way of communication. Rhetorical question. Rhetorical questioning way of communication. Meaning a question that is answered by another question. Like you will use a question to answer a question. That is a rhetorical way of communication. So if you understand that, now let's now go through it now from verse 31. Now you learn to just remove all those italicized words, and most of them are not needed. Now, 6:31 said, "What shall we say then to these things?" That's a question, right? If God be for us, who can be against us? And that question. So a question answers another question. If God be for us, like it's just a rhetorical conversation. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's not saying you should answer. The question has answered himself with another question. Something like that. Now see verse 2. You now see it much more now from 32. He that spare not his own son, but deliver him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? That is another question. But don't forget, although it looks like another question, but it's also an absolute statement. See 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Question. So, remove that, it is. So, of course, don't forget, when these things are translated, even they have not brought out all these punctuations and everything, question mark, everything is not yet there. So you have to intelligently know where it should be and where it should not. So who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? What I'm saying is that when the Bible was translated into English, punctuation marks, etc., although they have not been invented into English, it's not part of English language then, in the Greek also. Of course, I can't date it very right now, but in the Greek has no punctuations. The Greek relies on words more than punctuation marks. So, he said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Question. So, if you remember that it is, it should be God that justifies, another question. Are you with me? So, who shall lay any... it's not saying it is God that justifies, that also lays charge of... anything to the charge of God's elect. I didn't know if you are getting me, brethren. Romans 8:33 is not saying it is the God that justifies that also lays things to the charge of God's elect. So it ought to be question. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Question. God that justifies. Another question. Hope you got that. Now see 34. Now this is the main reason I went through all this. Who is he that condemneth? Question, right? What should be the next word? Christ that died, that it is in italics, so remove it. So, Christ that died, you should put, thank you, Brother Mike. Christ that died, you should put another question mark in front. So, who is it that condemned? Is it Christ that died? That means, is it the one that died that will now condemn you? So, it should be question again. That's a year rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. In 35, you still use the same method. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness or perish or sword? Question. Hallelujah. Okay, sorry. That's just to explain that style of communication to you. You may see it also in some other portions of the scripture, Jimmy. I think the book of Hebrews used that a lot. Hope you got that. And can I continue? Yes, so don't forget what I said initially. All I'm just trying to bring out from Romans 8, verse 33 is that it is God that justifies. It is God that justifies. See the same thing now in Romans chapter 4, verse 5. God that justifies. Romans 4, verse 5. But to him that walketh not, see Romans 4, verse 5. To him that walketh not, but believe. To him that walketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. Can you see that? That him that justifies the ungodly. That's serious. Hallelujah. To him that walketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. So, to reject God's way of justification is to enthrone yourself as God. Or to reject God's justification, to reject God as your justifier, that's better. To reject God as your justifier, of course, don't forget God justified through his son, through the sacrifice of his son. So to reject God as your justifier is to enthrone yourself as God. That's what 2 Thessalonians is saying. To reject God as your justifier is to enthrone yourself as God. Amen. To reject God as your justifier is to enthrone yourself as God. See verse 3 now. Back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Son of perdition. Son there is same Greek word, oios. Like U-I-H-O-S. Like those who inherited perdition, those who inherited destruction. The same way we are oios of God, we are oios of eternal life. We are sons of God. That means we have God as our inheritance. But here he's now talking about oios of perdition. The same thing that Ephesians 2 is saying. They are children of wrath. Ephesians 2 from verse 1. Children of wrath. And you are still quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. Hallelujah. Of course, don't forget, by nature there does not mean from birth. No, the nature is described in verse 2 and verse 1. You are fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Yeah? So a man that is ruled by the nature is in the mind, is ruled by his mind, it's not ruled by his spirit. Okay, of course, don't forget what I taught about spirit, soul, and body in the first part. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposeth? Please look at this one. Who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now see that word. Who opposeth? That word opposeth is antikema. Anti, A-N-T-I, is from two words. It means anti, A-N-T-I-K-E-I-M-A-I. A-N-T-I-K-E-I-M-A-I. It's from two words, anti and kema. Kemai. Anti is, of course, anti is some normal anti. Anti is against. And that K-E-I-M-A-I is lie. It's lie. So, verse 4 is saying, somebody that is lying against God. To lie opposite to God. To lie against. To lie against. That is what to oppose me. To lie. It's not just that you are saying I'm PDP, I'm APC. No. You are now bringing false evidence against God. To lie against God. See 1 John chapter 5 verse 10. To lie against God, to call God a liar, to call everything that God has done for you, to call it a lie. Say 1 John 5 verse 10, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not the Son hath made him a liar. Why? Because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. Because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. Okay, go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, 2, verse 4. Who opposeth and exalted himself, verse 4, above all that is called God. That is the same thing that we are saying since. All that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That word showing there is apodikumi. A-P-O-D-E-I-K-N-U-M-I. I spell it one more time. A-P-O-D-E-I-K-N-U-M-I. It means to demonstrate by arguments. Showing himself that he is God. It's not just, this is not a supernatural somebody that is just looking at God, but I didn't know who you are. This is demonstrating by argument. That's the meaning of the word showing there. Showing. To demonstrate something by argument. So this is not talking about some antichrist, some special antichrist that is coming that is not yet here, but he's talking about the man that contradicts the message of Christ. He's talking about the man, not just one man, the man that contradicts the message of Christ. This is true. They have been around since, and they are still around now. They have been around since, and they are still around now. See, the reason we have Antichrist is because there was a Christ. E.g., from Acts 13, the one you saw, I read to you, those people you saw contradicting and blaspheming, those are Antichrist. Those are Antichrist. People who reject this message of Christ, and they even take it further to contradict, to lie against it. Hallelujah. So That word Antichrist everything you are seeing in this second Thessalonians is simply to denote the rebellion of men against God. Is to denote the rebellion of men against God. Rebellion. That is what it is. Is to denote the rebellion of men against God. It's not really talking about one hellboy or a man with two arms. No. Or a man that we have two arms in one future. I know we have watched plenty of movies and God help our life. So it's not talking about any hellboy. Let me show you something from 1 John. 1 John explained this concept, I can say, almost clearer. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18. No, because I'm not seeing you face to face. I'm just doing my best to be intentionally slower so that everybody can get it. But that's why we are here. It's for your comprehension. Where is Small Saint? Where is Sister Okpa? She here. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Let me take it again. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even... So you have... Fumbi, thank you, I didn't know. Little children, it is the last time as you have heard. See, that as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. This is talking about close to 2,000 years ago now. So he's saying, even this is the reason we know it is the last time. Say, you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists. So relax. Don't find a doctrine of Armageddon where it's not from where it's simply talking about those who reject the gospel. See verse 19. They went out from us, because you cannot be an Antichrist without first being acquainted with the message of Christ. You must know the message you are going to contradict. That's why I told that a lot of people that contradict the Bible, they pick their evidence from the Bible. They pick their evidence from the world to contradict the world. Very sad. So that's why he said they went out from us. That means some people, in fact, that's why at times I just do something. That's why I reduce some of my involvement on social media. That's why I just put everything on the website. If you really want to know, go out there. Go there and learn. Some people come to church, so they come to learn the word so as to discredit the word. Some people learn doctrine from pastor, from us, from plenty of people, so that they can now preach their materialism. So they went out from us, but they were not of us. Of course, sorry, I'm not talking about, I'm not saying, just try and get me in context. So, of course, 19 is strictly talking about, actually, those who reject the message of Christ. So they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Hallelujah. Praise God. So they are not special spirits from hell or special spirits that is not yet around. They are already around. These are just those who specialize in rebelling against the redemptive work and words of Jesus. They specialize in rebelling against that redemptive work and words of Jesus. Don't forget what I told you about unbelief. I said, if you stop professing it, the goodness of God will catch up with you. That's why I said, just say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven to bring Christ down? Say not in your heart. That means, just don't say it's a lie. That means, as long as you are preaching to a man and he's not contradicting your message, as long as he's not giving evidence against what you are saying, he will be saved. I'm not saying he's saved at that instant, but that means he's already on the right path. He will be saved. But the moment a man starts contradicting and blaspheming, that's the issue. If you are preaching to somebody and his guy is quiet and he didn't really, maybe he didn't speak in tongues that day already, but he's quiet, he didn't contradict you, just go again. He's on the right, he's on the path. He's getting convinced, guy. Just go again. It is the man that specializes in contradicting. That is the one we call the unbeliever. Are you with me? I'm not saying they are half believers. So I'm saying the man that is not, that is hearing you, not contradicting, maybe he has not agreed fully, is on the right path. He's not yet there. I'm not saying salvation is a way to heaven. The path is to lead into salvation, and salvation is the destination. The path is to lead into salvation, and salvation is the is that destination. Thank you for getting me. 1 John 2 verse 20 now. 2 verse 20. You have an auction from the Holy One. If you mix anything, just flow. Don't worry. When the recorded is online, you will get it clearer. But it's the main thing is that you comprehend what I'm saying. You have an auction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. See? Now, see 22. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? Hope is clear. He is Antichrist and that denies the Father and the Son. Who is that liar? But the man, he that denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. 23. Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. That's serious. Or either acknowledge the Son as the Father also. Now, see that word deny in 23. Whosoever denies the Son. To deny is a very, it's actually a very strong Greek word there. It's aneomai. A-R-N-E-O-M-A-I. A-R-N-E-O-M-A-I. It means to contradict, to reject, to refuse. To contradict, whosoever contradicts the Son. A-R-N-E-O-M-A-I. To contradict the Son. Hallelujah. So, don't see Antichrist as special people. They are men around you. They walk among us. It's about the rebellion in their mind. In their mind. And like I told you, rebellion in the mind of man, we prevent the spirit from entering rest. See 1 John 2:26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, that try to deceive you. I have seen a man that's why we have to talk very well. We have to do all this very well before you go on evangelism. I've seen people that it is in evangelism that they convert them I've heard of people that it is in evangelism that they convert them to another thing. Hallelujah. So they concerning them that seduce you. Seduce there is not talking about sexual, it's talking about that tries to deceive you. So go to 1 John 3, verse 8. 1 John 3, don't worry, I'm beyond 50%. I know you are tired. Try not, I'm tired too, but no, we have to study God. We have to. God must shape our thinking all day. God and His word must shape our thinking. It must shape our understanding. 1 John 3 verse 8. He that committed sin is of the devil. He that committed sin is of the devil. People are just so funny. If he's talking about all sins, then that is serious. That means Peter too in Acts 5 is of the devil. Because Peter committed sin in Acts 5. Go and check the sin. Go and check the sin committed. That means there's plenty. There's even Paul. there was a day he abused the. Say God will smite you. That white test, he was angry. That is Acts 20, maybe 23 or 24. That means of the devil too. So try and. That is why context is the savior of Bible interpretation. Learn to put things very well. So the sin there is specific. There's a sin that makes a man to collaborate with the devil. Just keep reading. He that committed sin, which sin? It's not just everything. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. In now saying 9, whosoever is born of God cannot commit this sin. Let me use it that way. Does not commit this sin. For his seed remaineth in him. He cannot commit this sin because he is born of God. So, what is the sin? To blaspheme God.
to lie against the truth. Anyone that is born of God does not lie against the truth. That's what the devil did in the beginning. See verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. We explain this in our salvation. That should be around maybe part around part 4, part 5, part 6. You find it there very well explained. So he that committed. So this is how we know the children of the devil, the son of perdition. They are united with the devil in rebellion. It's not by looking out for anybody, somebody that printed a tattoo or 666 on his hand or on his head. No. How you know them is by the message. By the message. The message is the man that shares common identity with the devil. What is that identity? Rebellion. The man that shares that common identity with the devil, which is what? Rebellion. To rebel against. See, in fact, let me say it this way. The devil does not have to possess him. The devil does not have to be inside that man for him to be of the devil. The man does not have to be demon possessed. But to contradict the truth is to do the same thing that the devil did. Both of you, you'll be judged alike. That's why he said, that's why later you see the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Amen. Praise God. So, same way as we saw the devil contradict the truth in Genesis 3, God said, if we touch each other, the devil said, we shall not surely die. That is to lie against the truth, to contradict. And it's more than that. See 1 John 4, verse 1. 1 John 4, verse 1. Listen, sure you are looking at the Bible. We have to dump plenty of ideas. See 1 John 4 verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Same people. So they are not some fresh introduction into the world that will be coming at Armageddon. No, they are not. They will not be some fresh introduction that has yet to come. They are already around. In fact, travel around the world and see theories that men has invented to discredit God and His Son. Theories. Antichrist, anti-this, anti-that. I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Hinduist. Theories, plenty, science, philosophy, theories that men has invented to discredit God and His Son. To discredit God, to discredit the redemptive work of His Son. Plenty around the world. See 1 John 4 verse 2. 1 John 4 verse 2. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Can you see? Hereby we know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That means anybody is not to come in the flesh. There is not just talking. Of course, no, I can go into the gnostics, but it's talking essentially about his incarnation, death, burial, and resurrection. See verse 3. And every spirit that confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh, talking about the redemption of Christ in the flesh, don't forget, for Hebrews 2, it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified, they are all of one origin. So it's talking about the humanity of Jesus. Humanity of Jesus. So these are people that they deny the humanity of Jesus. Every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Is not of God. Now see the next part. This is the spirit of that. This is that spirit of Antichrist. or this is that of Antichrist. This is that of Antichrist, whereby you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So you can see that the Antichrist is actually a message, is a doctrine, is just that stronghold of rebellion against God. See verse 4. Now he say, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. Can you see? So they will have disciples too. The world will hear them. They will have disciples. But see verse 6. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Hallelujah. So the Antichrist is simply a spirit of anti-truth. That is error. The error is against truth. Spirit of anti-truth. Heretic. Hallelujah. So now, hear me clearly. I am not saying that these Antichrists are beyond redemption now. Now, get this point. Get this point. Hope you are with me. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. So, like I'm saying, I'm not saying now that this Antichrist, that they are currently beyond redemption. No, no, no. That is not what I'm saying. I'm not saying they are currently beyond redemption. No. Check 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. That's why we have this. 2 Corinthians 10, 4. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are for people like them, but mighty through God. That means we too, we are not going to rely upon carnal wisdom. We are not going to rely upon carnal. And just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we are not going to rely upon philosophy. We are not going to rely upon the wisdom of men. We are not going to rely upon calculation. So he said the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations. Focus on those words. Casting down, bringing down imaginations. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge, can you see that against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. So this is actually what is currently ongoing. This is talking about the ministry of the believer, the teaching ministry of the believer. Opposing the people, instructing those who oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So this is the teaching ministry of the believer. Of course, I explained that in God's 1 and God's Action Series 2. So as we preach and teach, this happens. We cast down imaginations. We bring down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge. So that also we call term somebody an antichrist or somebody is it can still be saved. That does not negate his salvation. But pay attention now. Pay attention. A day is now coming that preaching will stop. Mm-hmm. Now you are getting what Paul is saying by falling away. A day is now coming that preaching will stop. A day will come that believers will quit from here. From our ministry on earth. So, write it down this way, please. There shall be a falling away of believers from this type of people. Falling away there means separation, apostasis. That same word, apostasis. Let me wait for you. Don't forget, I said that word is from a root word that actually means apostasian, something like that. It means a divorce. So there will be a divorce of believers from this type of people. There will be a departing. a departing. Hallelujah. There will be a departing of believers from this type of people. This is what is commonly termed as the rapture. Are you with me? This is what is commonly termed as the rapture. So there will be an apostasia, falling away, as put by KJV, of believers from this type of people. So now, that means anywhere you see apostasia in the Bible, ask, departing from what? Falling away from what? And I told you that we only have that word used twice in the Bible, Acts 21:21, which means departing from the law of Moses, forsaking the law of Moses. And also, this Second Thessalonians will mean departing or forsaking, departing from the unbelievers, departing from the contradictors, departing. And that's the same thing that Paul and, is it Paul and Barnabas, that they try to typify when they shook the dust of their feet against some people, that, okay, we are departing to you. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Peter, he shook the dust of their feet to them. Shake the dust of their feet to them. So that is what they are trying to typify by that. Of course, that day is not that day. It's not the day that I'm talking about here. But that is a type of what will happen to them. That means a day will come that that believers, we are abandoned the contradictors to their own peril. We abandon them to receive what they are looking for, to their will. Independence. They want to be independent of God. A day will come that believers, we abandon them to their folly. Now, let's now read the remaining context of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. Remember not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what we told it in, that it might be revealed in his time, that is us, the church, before the mystery of iniquity. Rebellion is already at work in the world. Already doth work. Only he who let until he be taken out of the way. So when the church is out of the way, verse 8, then shall the wicked be revealed. What will now happen? Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the what? With the brightness of his coming. Amen. Even him, in italics, whose coming is after the working of Satan, keep reading, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Can you see? It's in them that perish. Everything he's describing in verse 8 and 9 looks like it's the man that is coming, but he's saying in them that perish in verse 10. The same way when you are reading about one Jezebel in the book of Revelation that seated on the nations, and you're thinking you are expecting the resurrection of Jezebel, the wife of Ahab. Of course, think spiritual. That is figurative. So he's saying this is talking about the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Just one word for all that is still rebellion. The rebellion in the heart of man. Because they receive, can you see? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, 11 and 12 now talks about their destination. That for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Where will the strong delusion come from? That is the same thing when the preachers depart. When preachers depart. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So, the believers are not falling away from God. It's not a separation from God, but from unbelievers, from those who reject the truth. It's not separation from God, it's from unbelievers. It's separation from those who reject the truth. So I can call it this way, that is like man or preachers putting an end to God's long suffering. Hallelujah. Same way I explained that of Noah and the rest of them. That is man or preachers putting an end to God's long suffering. Man of preachers putting an end to God's long suffering. Now, the same thing, Paul has said the same thing before. Check chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. It's because we just read, you are just quick to read danger for everybody. That's why we don't see truth. That's what he's saying in chapter 2. Don't be troubled. Don't allow anything to trouble you. See chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the eventual revelation of the wrath hanging on the unbeliever. That's what he's describing in verse 8. That is the eventual revelation of the wrath that is already hanging on the unbeliever. So what will happen on this day was simply be revelation of the wrath. Don't forget, we have discussed that last time, that the wrath is already on them. The wrath is on them. The wrath is self-invented. It's the rejection of the message. It's when they reject the message. That is the wrath. So what will now happen, what is now called in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, is the eventual revelation of the wrath they incurred. Not that the one that God gives them. See verse 9. Verse 9 will not explain anymore. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? Not by the power of God. See the words there. Hope you are looking with your KJV Bible. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? Apple. From. Away from. That's the Greek word there. From there is apple. Away from the presence of the Lord. And apple again. Away from. Those from. Funny enough, they are very standard. They are standalone Greek words. To emphasize that the punishment is not by the presence of God. The punishment is away from the presence of God. The punishment, the everlasting destruction, is away from the glory of his power. So that is the punishment. So the punishment will be the absence of God from them. Hallelujah. The punishment will be the absence of God from them. So let me say it this way. God is with unbelievers right now because believers are still on earth. God is with unbelievers right now because believers are yet to be raptured. Are you guys still following? Amen, amen. God is with unbelievers right now because believers are still on earth. That is why God is with them. That's why we can say God is with them. So, see verse 9 and 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from glorious power? 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired. Can you see? That is our own revelation, the revelation of the eternal life we have received. That is what is called glorification. Verse 10 is the revelation of our own eternal life. Verse 9 is the revelation of their own wrath. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So it is the same event. That's where I'm going. It is the same event, oh. That means the event of verse 9 and 10, they are simultaneous. They happen together. Our own glorification will be their own damnation. That means as our own glorification will be unveiled, their own true state too will be unveiled. It is just unveiling. It's an unveiling. And what will trigger the unveiling? Separation. Apostasia, thank you. Apostasia, falling away. Apostasia. So what will trigger that revelation? Apostasia, falling away, separation. The separation will trigger the revelation. So it's the same event, like the same time. And that is the same thing chapter 2 was describing. Hallelujah. That is the same chapter 2 is describing in verse 3. Like, that day shall not come, verse 3, except there be a falling away first. Falling away first, that is talking, is a positive word. Falling away proton. This is the order. Then what will now happen? The son, man of sin, will be uncovered, revealed. The children of perdition. The people, the children of wrath. Revelation. And verse, like I told you, showed you yesterday, verse, is it verse 7 and 8? Only he that let will keep letting until he's taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked be revealed. Are you with me? So what I mean is that, what I mean by something else, I didn't mean, actually mean it's like together like this. I mean, it is that taking away of believer for our glorification that will what trigger the revelation of the so-called Antichrist. Hallelujah. Hope it's clear today. Now, I'm almost closing. Check Matthew 25, verse 31. Let us look at content, just 2-3 more scripture, and we'll be done. Matthew 25, 31. The stability of the believer is actually in much teaching, much teaching, much teaching, much teaching. Why? Number one, to me, the Bible is not actually too, it's not small, it's plenty. So you must be taught much. Firstly, it's because we are actually redeeming the time. This is things that have to be done years ago, long ago. We are redeeming the time, and because we also have much more distraction in our days. So don't despise teachings like this. Don't despise. So this is your, it's for your stability. It's for your growth. Okay? It's for your growth, it's for your stability. The stability of the believer is in much teaching. Much teaching. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit, please look at this one, upon the throne of glory. 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And what will he do? He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from goats. So that is the same event that is being described here. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from goats. Of course, we know that the believers are the trigger of that. See 33. No, let me say this. And that reason he used the word falling away as apostasia is that the separation will be triggered not by God but by believers. Not it's self-triggering. It's not what you are made to. It's what you decide to do. Are you with me? It's what believers, the same way that Acts 21:21, believers, you are people saints should decide to forsake this law of Moses. Same way in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. It is the falling away, is the believer's action, not something that God just pushed the believer to do. Okay, so see 33. And he shall set his sheep on his right hand and the goat on the left. Don't look at your left hand. So this is the reason why some people have seen their left hand as useless, as not. My other brother do right with his left hand, so I didn't know. So don't see this as right, left. Just see it as separation. That's the point. Separation. 34. Then shall the king say to them on the right. That means there is a clear separation. Come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You know, I want to say let's read this together, but I will not know when you are reading with me. No. Okay. Come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That is revelation. That is not the day we have the kingdom of God. The day you believe the gospel, you already have the kingdom of God. You already inherit the kingdom of God. But this is just the revelation. Are you with me? Now, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you caused into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. See that? Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you caused into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So, of course, don't mind the way it's written there, the way it's put there. Actually, the unbeliever is the one that is departing. It's not God that told him to go. He's already going. I hope you understand me. In fact, from the day the message comes to him, the guy is already treading. He's already going. He's already running away. He's the one departing. In fact, if God tells him to come for judgment, he will not come. He will go. He is not coming. He doesn't want God. He doesn't for as they refuse to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them up. They refuse God. They refuse the knowledge of God. They hated knowledge. And they don't want to understand. So he's the one that does not love God, that does not want God. So I wrote in my note, I said there is unlikely to be any meeting where a sinner will stand before God to be judged. Is the guy as judge himself? Let me say it again. There is unlikely to be any meeting when a sinner will stand before God to be judged. For what? A guy does not want God. Doesn't want to see God. He does not honor God. Is it the one that does not honor God for salvation that will now honor God for judgment? He does. His status is rebellion. His status is blasphemy. Hallelujah! Because God judges the world in His Son. You're not going to see God anywhere on any shed trying to be one tall or dry or any good one, anyone you call it. Amen. So it's actually the book of Revelation that gave plenty of those issues. So I believe you got that. Now, Psalm 1 verse 1. Two more scriptures will be done. I love this. Please open to Psalm 1 verse 1. Praise God. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And this will be the result of the journey, that the one and two can be a journey that will lead to faith. Two now say, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That should symbolize salvation. See verse 4. The ungodly. See that word. The ungodly are not so, but are like the shaft which the wind driveth away. Now, where I'm going is verse 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Can you see that? Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Can you see? The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, the word apotasia, Again. Yes, apostasia. That word never describes. That word never describes the departing of a believer from God. No, it never describes the journey of a believer from God. The way people call apostasy that somebody that is departing from faith. No. We are going to intelligently now look. Because don't forget, what we first did is to study that word by grammar. Where is that word? That word itself used in the Bible. We have seen it, and we say apostasy nowhere refers to the journey of a believer from God. So other places where it's being used, Second Timothy 4, Hebrews 6, we are now going to go back and study all other those portions, because the words used there is most of them are just aphistemi, which we are going to see later. So, but the word apostasy never in any place describes the journey of a believer from God. Believers are forever in unity with God. So the word actually describes the rapture of saints. Separation of believers from those who are bent on contradicting our God and His Christ. So the word apostasia describes the rapture of the saints, describes the separation of believers from those
who are bent on contradicting our God, that is Christ. Because when you don't honor Christ, you don't honor God. Hallelujah. So we cannot be separated from God. A believer cannot tread the way. You don't keep yourself. You are not the one keeping yourself with God. God keeps you in. He shut. Remember that typology that Noah gave us? When they enter the door, he say God shut them in. It's not your will to walk out. You can't walk out on God. Is he your mate? Are you disrespectful? If like this, so because it is the power of God that keeps you in. Hope you get that. The power of God keeps the believer in Christ. Amen. Your choice gets you into salvation, but the power of God keeps you in salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our choice keeps us in salvation. Our choice is like the opening of getting to salvation, but it's the power of God. That thing you are seeing existing greatness of power. Those power keeps you seated with Christ. Your bottom is glued on that right hand. You go nowhere. Hallelujah. So it's the power of God that keeps the saved, not the decision of the saved. Not the after salvation decision of the saved. If you like be crazy, if you like be naughty, you meet God at the end and you tell him why you are crazy. But it is the power of God, of course not you, but it's the power of God that keeps the saved saved. That's the power of God. So we are saved today, we are saved forever. Meaning we are forever united with God. We are united forever. Let me read John 5:24 and I close from there. Hope you understood this concept clearly right now. So anywhere you see anybody trying to say, see that man of God, is now this one, he was a Christian before, now he's a Muslim, he's an apostate, he's a stuff. I tell them to be quiet and, so you go nowhere. Amen. Except to fry plantain. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that, you can fry your plantain in Christ, not outside Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on me, on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Glory to God. And shall not come into condemnation. I didn't know how clear you want God to say. I didn't know how clear people want scripture to sound like. He said, he will not. It's not your, it's your duty to believe, but it's not your duty to go again to condemnation. Sorry, it's your choice to believe, but it's not your choice again to be condemned. And shall not, he said, there is no condemnation to them. You cannot even condemn yourself again. You can't crino yourself again. Crino. So, and shall not come into condemnation. But it's already passed. Hallelujah. We have escaped. We have passed. Amen. Irreversibly passed from death to life. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, pick up this ministry. This ministry of the word is yours. This ministry of the word is what we have received. This ministry of the word is what we have in Christ. So, we pick it up strongly. And we maximize it. We bring our friends, our family. Don't forget your glorification will be the what? Will be the eventual judgment for the unbelievers. It will be the unveiling of the states of those in rebellion. Amen, amen. So you will not want your friends, your family to be part of that. So preach the gospel of Christ. Be firm with the gospel. Be voracious about the gospel. Teach it with all gusto, teach it with all clearness, teach it with power, teach it with so much assurance. So thanks for following again today. I will do my best for us to continue tomorrow. Just stay tuned, 10 o'clock tomorrow. You should have me here again. Amen, amen, amen. So thank you so much. You can allow me to know in private if there's anything that is wanting to clarify for you. Don't ask about revelation. I'm not a all I can say.
Yes, bro. Kim, bro. Sharon, thank you. Thanks so much. So allow this message to shape your life, to shape your life, to shape your experience, to shape your life, to shape your days. Allow it. The gospel is power. Hey, come on,